This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
And welcome in, everybody, to a Christmas Eve edition of Birds 365 here in Jacob Sports. How's everybody doing this morning? Don't forget to hit that like button. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. And I hope everybody has an awesome holiday week. All right, we will have no shows tomorrow on Christmas and an abbreviated show today. Just a quick hour for you. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Christmas Eve, brother?
Gearing up for the big day. The big day of awful, awful football, by the way. Yeah, awful football. Backup, third string quarterbacks. But let's play 18 games. Let's do it. Let's add an extra game.
Yeah, it's no good, John. No good. Let's see what happens. I don't know how much I'll be tuned in, John. I'm thinking, you know, when you work in football or you work in this industry, you know, these holidays feel a little different to us than they do to most. But I might try and kick my feet up and not turn much football on because I don't feel as though I'll be missing too much, J-Mac.
I don't think you will be missing too much, Yeah, I'm not going to criticize people who don't watch football on Christmas. I think it's silly that what they've done. Now, you know, if it lands on the right day of the calendar, but, you know, last year, what, it was Wednesday and they're having a game. I mean, come on, what are we doing? What are we doing? So, you know, but that's the NFL and Netflix is willing to ante up some significant money and now Amazon's involved and, hey, you know, maybe they'll rethink it from their end because, and it, you know, another thing, I'll start early with my pet peeves. I got two of them today, but.
Nice. A little Christmas Eve pet peeve.
You know, this highlights, Christmas Day highlights why the schedule release, which is also a waste of time, is such a blown up nothing. Like we're all sitting there and we all do it and you have to do it. That's a win. That's a loss game. I mean, what can you project that Josh Johnson might be playing in week 17 or Max Brosmer might be playing? It's such a waste of time. And it's like,
John, you woke up on Christmas Eve and said, I'm going to be a curmudgeon on the schedule release.
And that's what people say. And that's all right. I got three pet peeves. Like, that's a curmudgeon from pointing out the silliness of people. And I'll go right back and they'll say, oh, it's so exciting. What a game. What a matchup. What a game. What? This is phenomenal. You know, it's not being a curmudgeon to point out that people never learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, you know, John, remember, this is a hobby for a lot of people. It is that, you know what I mean? So they like to have a little fun. I'm not saying you're wrong that it's foolish.
I think the fun argument. I hear the fun. Oh, you're not letting to have people fun. Come on. That's bullshit. That's not what they're doing. That's not what they're doing. They're not having fun. That's just moving the goalposts.
All right. So schedule release is your pet peeve.
Actually, that came out of nowhere just from the, you know, bringing up how sad the game
is. Your pet peeve number two is me calling you a curmudgeon for calling out the stupid.
Well, that was in the moment. Okay. Pet peeve number two. Pet peeve number three, courtesy of Vic Fangio, the Pro Bowl. Boy. What an abject mess that thing is. Now, I've long advocated get rid of the game, keep the honor. They've finally done that because the Pro Bowl game was just an abysmal waste of time. But, you know, football's not a sport that lends itself to an all-star environment because you can get hurt playing football. So, you know, you don't want guys out there even, And you can get hurt doing anything, but you get the point. Baseball, basketball, it's much less
physical. It's a very physical game.
So it just doesn't lend itself. So that part's a positive. But, I mean, and I'll use Vic's quote. He was asked about Jordan Davis getting snubbed. Ironically, he got snubbed for his teammate, who doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, right. Because
the other two guys deserve to be there. Although you can argue Quinnen Williams did most of his work with the Jets, but phenomenal player. Leonard Williams having a great year. Those are the other two guys, plus Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis should have made the Pro Bowl, but he should have made the Pro Bowl over Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. But, you know, Vic talking about it, should have for sure, talking about Jordan. Then he went into, I think they need to perform a committee for the Pro Bowl, get a couple retired coaches, couple retired personnel guys, couple retired players that will take pride in it, take pride in naming the players. And, you know, everybody, and then he said everybody and their mother's got a vote now. And it's a shit show. I mean, no offense to Cam Jurgens. Great guy. I love you, Cam. But Cam Jurgens is in the Pro Bowl. Jalen Carter's in the Pro Bowl. Joe Alt played 6 games. He's in the Pro Bowl.
It's
great
like
player.
So do you agree with this, though? Because, you know, I think a lot of fans conflate what you're saying with that they think the Pro Bowl doesn't matter because the voting system is flawed and silly and not correct. But it does matter for these guys, right? Like you could see Jordan.
Well, it matters, and that's where the NFL, you know, the fact
that
they
contract escalators, all sorts of stuff.
The fact that they put contract escalators on this nonsense, like why do they do that? That's an unforced error. You know, use Pro Bowls, use something more legitimate. Now that's not perfect either. I'm not saying that's perfect, but that's exactly what Vic is asking for, you know, because there are players, retired players, not personnel guys, but I think there's one or two coaches, but I'd have to look. But there are retired players who vote, and there are, you know, very few media people who vote who are generally serious about it. And it's a much better, it's already regarded as a much bigger honor, but you know, the fact that they use Pro Bowls as escalators, I mean, that's just silly.
Well, if you're going to use that, then Vic's approach makes complete 100% sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how do you delegitimize the process, you know, but legitimize the results for players in a very tangible, real way? I mean, Jalen Carter, I know you're right. Jordan Davis is upset because Jalen Carter snubbed him. Jalen Carter slept good last night. His escalator for his fifth-year option went up to $25 million.
Well, and by the way, I'm not saying Jordan Davis is upset at Jalen Carter.
No, he's not.
If you're going to take one guy out, you have to take Jalen Carter out, and you would have to put Jordan Davis in. So, but you know, it's a lot of it's reputation based. And obviously, Jalen already has the big reputation, deservedly so. You see it more with older players. Offensive line, you know, you see it a lot. It's ironic because, you know, Lane didn't make it because he's missed a bunch of games. But Joe Alt made it because
Joe Alt, who plays 6 games and doesn't have the pedigree of Lane Johnson.
But at the NFC's better at tackle. So in the NFC, you had Williams. You have Trent Williams, who's big reputation guy, but also having a great year. You have Wirfs, big reputation guy, who's also having a big year. And I forget the third one, but Penei Sewell, which is, you know, the NFC's loaded.
Tackle.
So that speaks, and you don't differentiate. You only pick 3. So, you know, both Lane and Jordan have bigger reputations than Cam, but look at the tackles on the NFC side. So, you know, part of it works in that aspect of it. And look at the difference between the AFC quarterbacks and the NFC quarterbacks, by the way. It's unbelievable. But anyway, the Pro Bowl is. But the fact that's tied, you're right.
The quarterbacks were who? Stafford, Darnold, and who?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But Stafford's the only one where you go, all right, that guy's really good. It's Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Drake May on the AFC side. On the NFC side, it's Stafford, Sam Darnold, Dak Prescott. Dak's good, but and by the way, they picked the right guys. I'm not
arguing. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't see another NFC quarterback
who probably just the AFC over. Quarterbacks are better. That's all. That's what I meant. Same with tackles at each position. Like at tackle, it's Garrett Bowles, Deion Dawkins, good players. Joe Alt, Deion Dawkins, obviously on Buffalo as the Eagles get ready to play him. Good players, but you know the NFC side: Trent Williams, Tristan Wirfs, Penei Sewell. I mean, yeah, different. And the wide receivers on the NFC side: Puka, Jackson Smith and Jigba, George Pickens, Amon-Ra St. Brown, versus the receivers on the AFC side, which Ja'Marr Chase is phenomenal. Nico Collins, Zay Flowers, Courtland Sutton, all good players, but I mean, come on. So you see the difference and the strengths of the conferences, but and most everybody's on this list is a really good player. So it's like when you're only picking that number of players, you're going to get a bunch of good players. And you can pick and choose. And there are certain guys who, you know, get screwed every year. But the fact that the way they do it, I mean, and guys get escalators off this. Whew.
All right, I'm with you on this pet peeve. I mean, I like the Pro Bowl. I don't care for the game. I'm more with you. I don't care for the game at all. But I do like the award, but it just seems to me it doesn't, you know, I don't get how you attach so many contract incentives and things to it. I mean, there's also $500,000 bonuses in there, John, for making the
Pro Bowl. Yeah, I know. It's absurd.
So I don't know how you attach such tangible things to it and then not – you know, put the voting
and then take it more seriously.
Yeah, and any Joe Schmoe.
No offense, but if you're putting that much import on it, fans should not be voting, have mm-hmm. any impact on this.
I agree completely. I think every logical fan would agree too. I mean, that's silly. And by the way, we all think Jordan Davis got snubbed, and hey, he did get snubbed, but somewhere out there an NFC center is like, man, I got snubbed for Cam Jurgens. He's played terrible this year. So I thought that one was crazy.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Drew Dahlman. And I noticed, because it was weird, the Eagles, for the fan voting, the Eagles guys are usually high up on the list because, for whatever reason, Eagles fans didn't stuff the ballot box, so to speak, this year. The Chicago people did.
Obviously, one of the bigger fan bases and one of the more passionate fan bases. Yeah,
and the Chicago people really did, and I think that's just, you know, they've been bad for so long, and now they're good. I think they're excited, but you know, and it's only one third of the vote of the actual, but one third, I mean, is significant. You know, shouldn't be that way if you're
gonna. Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, thanks to Vic Fangio, because that was Vic, and he just, you know, got to take it more seriously if you're going to treat it seriously.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. John, on the other Pro Bowler, Zach Bond made it for the Eagles. Jalen Carter, as we talked about. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean made it. How about that for a DB tandem? And then Cam Jurgens. Those are the five Philadelphia Eagles Pro Bowlers. I don't think Jalen Carter or Cam Jurgens should have made the Pro Bowl. I'm happy for them that they did, but I don't necessarily think they were actually the Pro Bowl players this year. The other three, though, I love. I think really, you know, it's really dope that Quinyon and Cooper got there. John, what a great draft that's turning out, man. What a great, you know, tandem of picks, back-to-back, first and second round. I think it was 22nd and 40th overall. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And both of them find themselves on the Pro Bowl. And you could maybe see both of them on the All-Pro. I don't think for Quinyon because it's a tough sled there. There's a lot of great corners. But I think Cooper will make the All-Pro team as well.
Cooper's going to be an All-Pro. I think Quinyon might get second team. but he doesn't have enough interceptions to get first team. I think. I don't.
What do they do? Two corners per team?
No. Well, yeah, there's two. It depends on who, you know, you, if guys are unanimous, you know, there's not, you know, you can go down the third, fourth team, but if you have really strong candidates, obviously the less people are going to get votes. So it depends sort of on what's going on, but corner's a position where, yeah, a bunch of guys will get votes, and I think Quinion will get votes. I just don't think, judging from years past, they put too much value on interceptions. So that's just my feeling on it. You know, the crazy thing about Jordan Davis, though, is that he wasn't even an alternate. You know, they name alternates.
Right.
You know, second alternate. Jalen Phillips made it, which is big for him. He's barely here, by the way, again. Third was Saquon and Dallas Goedert. Fourth, Keely Ringo is a special teamer. Fifth, Jalen Hurts. Those are the only alternates. Didn't even make it as an alternate, Jordan Davis.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Does being an alternate get you anything?
No, well, just if somebody bows out, you get bumped up and you're on the team.
Yeah, but if you're on the team, is that viewed as like if there's a contract escalator for somebody that's an alternate, do they hit it by being an alternate, or do you have to get
the generally not. Now it's a little bit different. Years past, like everybody would bow out, not play when they played the game. Now they don't play the game, so not as many people bow out. No, you still have to show up in California and do the stupid flag football stuff. So some guys will bow out, but, you know, in the old days when they played the game, you know, all the time, you know, I remember one year Snoop Huntley was a Pro Bowl quarterback because everybody bowed out and he was a fifth or sixth alternate or something. He got to play in the game. And if you do, then it counts. But if you don't, it doesn't count.
Bears fans think Nashawn Wright got snubbed, John.
Well, interceptions. Nashawn Wright is perfect example. That's why they think he got snubbed.
John, we always talk about stats, and there is certain stats that I understand how the context gets lost. I don't really understand how the context gets lost here. They don't throw at Quinion Mitchell. He's not going to have as many interceptions as somebody that's getting targeted 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a game. They don't throw to Quinion. How many targets does Quinion get a game on average? 3? 2?
Yeah, well, if you think that Nashawn Wright is, who's had a heck of a year, and it's certainly where it came from, you know, he's third-round pick in Dallas. They traded him to Minnesota. He was on the practice squad there. Then he went to Chicago. So good story. But if you think Nashawn Wright's better corner than Quinion Mitchell, I can't help you.
Yeah,
But to your point about statistics, no. I mean, same thing with sacks. I mean, you get a bunch of interceptions, you're great. You get a bunch of sacks, you're great. It drives me insane. And Nashawn's having a very good year, but again, it's all relative.
How about Bond? You think Bond
would
make it?
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, I agree.
So consistent. But, yeah, I mean, I am a little surprised.
Pretty amazing. I know Bond like deserves to make it from a play standpoint, but let's call spade a spade. A lot of this Pro Bowl stuff, I mean, it is reputational. There is a little bit of popularity going on. Isn't it pretty amazing how much Zach Bond has not only ascended to Philadelphia fans, but has ascended in the NFL eye, you know, as a linebacker in just the last year and a half? I mean, it's pretty unbelievable to me.
Yeah, well, there's kind of two ways. When you play so well, you break through, because usually it takes some time.
Yeah,
like right. I said, if Jordan Davis plays this way next year, he might make the Pro Bowl. Takes some time to break through reputation-wise. But when you play to such a level, and last year he was, like I said, he was the Saquon Barkley of defense. just making a play every day. Now, you don't have that 2,000 number, which people can latch on to so easily. But he was so dominant. Excuse me. He just broke through. And it's not just stats. It's about play on the field. And he was phenomenal. And this year, he's been just as consistent. Not quite as many splash plays, but really, really good player. So I've been talking about for a long time now.
You know, he's amazing. No doubt about it. John, what do you think about, you know, I don't want to go negative here on a Christmas Eve, but what do you think of the fact that the Eagles offense has as much perceived talent? I'll go with Jalen Hurts and use perceived talent.
I said it before Jalen.
Perceived talent. What do you think of none of them really making the Pro Bowl? I mean, you know, you would think
none of them deserve it.
I agree. I thought maybe, you know, I said this yesterday. I don't know if you agree with this, but I don't think any of them, AJ, Devontae, Goddard, maybe you can make an argument for. I don't think so, but Saquon, I don't think any of them really played like the Pro Bowl player this year. But I thought maybe like AJ would get deference as a, you know, as a player that has
not
reputation.
This year.
Do you think his comments earlier in the year maybe hurt that? Because he kind of like said, sometimes it takes the national media a year to catch up or several weeks to catch up to what the local media knows and what the local fans know about a team. AJ kind of shined this big siren for everybody to say, hey, everybody, our offense sucks. And then they all tuned into it and realized that the Eagles offense sucks. I think he might have hurt his own chance at winning a Pro Bowl.
No shot. Look at them. Puka, JSN, George Pickens, Amon-Ra, St. Brown. Who's he making the Pro Bowl over?
I think so.
It is such a deep year for the NFC. Justin Jefferson didn't make it. You know, talk about reputation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, there's no way. You know, ironically, though, and I said offensive tackle as well as the other reputation position, and it's just so deep with Penei Sewell, Tristan Wirfs, Trent Williams, you know, who's going to make it? And then to a certain degree, Landon Dickerson. It's ironic. Cam has the lowest reputation, but he's the guy who made it on reputation because center's weaker than the other positions. You know, if you were to rate the Eagles' offense, which is still pretty good offense, by the way, Cam might be what are we talking about? So if you're using 11 personnel, so and you're going to count three receivers, then it would be Jahan as the third receiver. And I apologize. It's good we have our show because my voice is not good today, but he might be the second worst player on offense this year.
Yeah,
and he made the Pro Bowl.
Who do you have as the worst?
John was the starter. If you're doing 11 personnel, so Jordan's better, Lane's better, Landon's still better. Tyler Steen, you can, all right, maybe third worst.
And I mean, I get Jahan's behind him, but like, I don't think that's Jahan's doing. not like he's had opportunities and hasn't made the most of them. He didn't get opportunities in this offense.
AJ, Devontae, Dallas, Saquon, Jalen. So third from the bottom. And he's the guy who made the Pro Bowl from the offense. There you have it.
Goofy. I'm with Vic, man. This thing's got to be revamped, but it does matter to these guys, man. It does matter. You got to get these guys, you know, if you're going to have it matter, you got to figure out the right way to make the voting work. All right, John, good stuff. Good open here on the Pro Bowl. Five Pro Bowlers for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, some snubs in there and some people who made it who probably shouldn't have made it, but that's all right. All right, so good for them. Congrats to all those five players and the alternates. Who did you say the Eagles' alternates were? Lane and Jalen?
No, Lane wasn't even an alternate. Jalen Phillips was a second alternate. Saquon and Dallas Goedert were third alternates. Keely Ringo was a fourth alternate as a special teams player.
Okay, special teams.
And Jalen Hurts was a fifth alternate at quarterback. So that means there were the three who made it, plus four more before Jalen Hurts.
Why do they need five alternates?
Just how many people? Well, good question.
Sure, they can say as many names as they can to get as many, much publicity as they can. That's stupid. Five alternates? Wait, five alternates? It's like the deepest, it's the deepest bench of all time. But I digress. All right, good stuff for the Eagles, the Pro Bowlers. Congrats to those guys. Johnny Mech. Yesterday, you had a full day at the NovaCare Complex. What is going on with this team? They got the Buffalo Bills coming to town. The injury updates is what the people are looking for. You know, you got Lane. You got Jalen Carter. I think N'Kobe Dean. The questions are out there on N'Kobe Dean. What do you know, John? What did you learn yesterday? You talked to the coordinators yesterday at the NovaCare Complex.
Yeah. And Bake Honest as usual. So they are going to play their starters against Buffalo. No surprise, but obviously Nick's not going to say it. Called N'Kobe iffy. So, you know, he was at practice, but just watching big compression sleeve on his left leg. So as he deals with that hamstring, I wouldn't expect to see him this week. Jalen Carter was back. Lane Johnson was not back. Which surprised me a little bit. And who's the other one? Cam Latu was back, but there's somebody else. He was back practicing. Oh, Landon Dickerson was not practicing, but he was watching practice. So they've generally been trying to get Landon through to game day, so I wouldn't be too concerned with that. They had no injury report because they practice on Tuesday. So for a Sunday game, you don't have to issue an injury report until Wednesday. That doesn't change even if you practice. The Eagles switched around this week because they're giving the players off for Christmas. So they practiced yesterday. They'll practice today. They'll practice Friday. But the first injury report will not come out until today after practice. Then they'll have an estimated one on Thursday and the normal status report on Friday. Thursday, obviously, they're not doing anything, so it's going to look probably the exact same as Wednesday. But that's just the mechanics of how they do it in the NFL.
Good stuff there, John. Let's see what happens this weekend. You talked to you talked to the coordinators yesterday, and I think Jalen Hurts spoke as well. I didn't get to hear Jalen yesterday. I was running around a little bit. But what did you take away from the coordinators yesterday, and if anything, from Jalen Hurts? I can't imagine you took much from there, but maybe you did. I don't know. You tell me, John. What'd you hear yesterday?
Well, as usual, you know, I think Bick is the headliner. He plays the big room, so to speak. Kevin goes later. I think Kevin is really interesting from a football wonk perspective. Jalen is back to being not giving you a lot. After opening up a little bit midway through the season, but you know, you're not getting a lot from him at this stage, which is fine, but is what it is. With Bick, as he called N'Kobe iffy, probably not going to happen this week. But Chad Campbell, it's pretty good backup. So I don't think you get too concerned other than Buffalo's a great, obviously, running team. And you have to worry about James Cook, but could be worse if you didn't have a backup like Jihad Campbell. So, and Lane, probably the most interesting it goes forward because the perception was that he was going to return this week, but he didn't practice on Tuesday. And Jalen Carter was back. So, Looks like he'll be in the mix to play this weekend, barring any setbacks.
Good stuff there. Let's see what ends up happening with those guys this weekend. And it is a great game this weekend, so it's going to be interesting to see. John, I wanted to bring up Tyler Steen as well, the update on Tyler, just because I think a lot of fans are wondering, oh, is he going to get suspended because he got tossed out of that game? It did come down, no suspension for Tyler Steen, which is a good thing, obviously. He'll be available to go. But what did you make of that, obviously, them not suspending Tyler? Whenever someone gets thrown out of a game, there is always a potential the NFL could add further discipline. They opted to not do that in the Tyler Steen brawl, which I think was the right move at the end of the
game. You can't. Yeah, I mean, you never know with the NFL, but there were a couple swings, but who knows? He'll get fined, but I mean, I wouldn't complain about it if they suspended him one game. If they didn't, there's no real consistency with the NFL, so I don't worry too much about their goopy decision making. Yeah. But other than it's good to have a starting player and he's not going to be suspended, he'll get fined, but and that'll come out Saturday, the actual fine. But yeah, who knows why they do what they do.
Did you see on another note, speaking of suspensions, good for Tyler Steen not getting suspended. Did you see the DK Metcalf stuff?
Yeah. Well, they're more concerned about stuff like that than.
Well, no, but I'm interested in just your thought. I mean, like, dude, you.
Well, the fan's a scumbag, but.
Fan's a raging douchebag, but, you know.
But brother, if you're DK and
$5 million in contract guarantees voided, that's the most expensive push I've ever heard.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. Basically, when you get suspended, you have the option of doing that. Now, I've also seen some reporting, and I'm not out there, that the Steelers have already assured them that everything's fine. We're moving forward together.
Right, because the Eagles had done that before, right, where they kept the guarantees for somebody when they didn't have to.
Other teams have done it. I don't recall the Eagles doing it.
Okay, maybe not.
Jordan Addison was a big deal with Jordan Addison, who's gotten, I don't know, 3 DUIs so far. But I don't even know if they took away his remaining guarantees. They just, when you see that stuff, you have the option to take it away if you want to.
Right.
From all indications here, Pittsburgh has already indicated to him that everything is fine from their side of it, and they don't want to move on. So I don't think it'll be an issue. But that's why you see those reports. When players get suspended, teams have the option. And I would be more, to use those two examples, I would consider taking away somebody like Addison's guarantees because he keeps making dumb personal mistakes,
right,
versus TK, who kind of lost his cool over a scumbag, which you shouldn't do, but, you know, you gotta, and they've evidently had a history with that fan before, so he should be ready for it and used to it and just stay away, you know, just walk away, stay as far away as possible.
I just don't what is this fan doing? Like, do you have no life? How do you have multiple interactions with DK Metcalf, a superstar NFL wide receiver? Are you seeking him out? How do you have multiple interactions with a player? 99.9% of fans don't have an interaction with any player ever once in their life. This guy's got multiple with the same player.
Yeah.
Feels a little fishy to me.
Well, you know, it's one of those guys. You hear about it all the time. I covered two guys, Brandon Wright, the trash talking. And it's all good natured with BG. I covered John Randall. I got, John was famous for, you know, getting the opposition media guide looking up things about players and, you know, tweaking them. You know, and that's player to player. And I think fans read stuff like that and they want to be involved and, you know, they want to tweak players. And yeah, but why they do it, I can't, you know.
Well, to Fly Parks in the chat, who says he's seeking out a payday via lawsuit. I did see him posting on social media. Hey, I'm the fan. I hired an attorney and all this bullshit. So Fly, maybe that's what ends up happening, but I hope it doesn't, because you're acting like a total jerk off. I get it. DK's the one, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You're the one playing the game. You're the one making the money. You got to be the bigger guy, but I hate this culture.
And you're the one with something to lose.
Yeah, right. But I hate this culture we live in where people just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Talk like there's
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over, paid for by NHTSA.
No consequence. Like, dude, shut your ass up, you know? I mean, what are you doing? But whatever. Yeah. I did think DK's got to control himself there.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt. From a player perspective, I get it. Some of these people say some things that are just off the reservation. But, I mean, that's just part of it. It's always been that way. That's not new with this generation. I mean, they say some nasty shit, man. Some people, not, it's always a minority. But most fans just want to go have some fun and watch a football game. But others take it too far. It's always been that way. Always will be that way.
It's weird. I've never understood that. I've never understood that type of fandom, but whatever, it is what it is. A lot of people are going to be that way. I hope all of our Birds 365 listeners don't ever act that way, because you're an idiot if you do. And if you do, you maybe don't watch the show, but I don't think any of you guys do, so that's a good thing. Those are few and far between. All right, good stuff. We got a super chat here, and then John, I want to open it up. I want to go a little broad. We're going to talk still Buffalo and Eagles. We got about 20 minutes left to go. We'll go live today, but I do want to ask you about maybe where your thoughts are on some big picture, you know, award type things in the NFL. Just have a little fun here on Christmas Eve. Here's Joshua. What's up, Joshua? Give KP credit. After three straight top 10 offenses, this was the first year both pass and run struggled. He made adjustments, and now the offense is flowing again.
Well, I think he's been better than, yeah, people give him credit for, but, you know, me, I don't want to go for pet peeves, but I don't like that word adjustment. Everybody uses it. They're constantly adjusting. And by the way, adjustments don't mean success. You know, you're constantly tweaking things to get better. And the Eagles have gotten better. And he deserves some credit for that. But, you know, It's players first. It's always players first. And the players are playing better. That's more than KP. KP's the same guy. Players are playing better.
Has there been some variation and more change? I mean, Jalen Hurts got asked that yesterday, John, about, you know, is this usual to have this type of change? And he kind of, you know, he had a Jalen Hurts answer where it's, yeah. you know, it's not like the most easy to understand. But
there were two questions yesterday.
Yeah, not usual the way they've handled it this year.
There were two questions yesterday, one from me, one from John Clark. You're talking about the John Clark one. It's always funny when Jalen is thinking about his answer, I'll ask you to repeat it because he doesn't necessarily want to answer it. So, you know, with John, the one you're talking about, he was asked about, has there been more changes than normal? And, you know, after he kind of caught himself, and I think, you know, basically most people are talking about the under center stuff, which is a change. But, you know, ultimately, no, there haven't been more changes than normal to a large degree. Just the common adjustments during the season, which are, again, a daily thing, or they should be, you know, during the game, out of the game, because of the opponent, all these different things. I mean, it's a constant back and forth. Like against Washington, they went empty because Washington was playing their base. So they had all the success with empty sets with five wide because Washington wouldn't come out of their base. Now, somebody isn't playing their base, they're not going to go empty all the time. Same thing with guys crashing with the under center stuff. Guys are crashing the runs from the gun. So they shipped it a little bit and tried to get more under center. So it's not changed from the perspective. It's just more noticeable because they're doing things they haven't done as much, is what the long and short of his answer. But it's common. I mean, you can't, and again, it doesn't mean successful. Bad teams make adjustments every single week.
Right, probably.
More because they're bad and they're trying a bunch of shit and throwing a bunch of shit at the wall. They probably make more adjustments. Not probably. They do.
So the Eagles are kind of in between right now, huh?
Yeah. So that's why I don't like that word. It's a fine word to use as long as you know what, you know, it's related to. But I think that the perception out there is that, oh, you got to make an adjustment, and adjustments are successful. Same thing with innovation. I hate innovation because all innovation isn't good. Most of it's shit.
Yeah.
You have 100 ideas, 99 of them are probably shit, but maybe you have a good one.
Right. Reminds me of a good thing I like, John, of, you know, somebody who's a successful guy writes a book I read, and he's like, I live by the thought process that 50% or more of all advice given in the world is wrong advice.
Oh, yeah, easily. That's a low number.
Yeah.
That's a low number.
But his point was more just, you know, you hear one thing or another thing, 50% is always going to be wrong. So I get it. But yeah, I agree.
So, and that's the thing, you know, because you hear that word thrown out there. Well, you got to make adjustments. You got to make adjustments. They're making adjustments all the time. And adjustments doesn't mean it's going to be successful, but, and that's sort of what Jalen was talking about. But they have done some things that are new, mainly the under center stuff that they haven't done a lot in the past. And I think people notice that and say, oh, that's why it's gotten better.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than that.
What did you ask Jalen that was different than John Clark?
Early in the season, they were talking a lot about unscouted looks. So to give you an example, the Minnesota game, because they had such success, Minnesota, the whole year coming into that game had played, you know, if you put 11 on the field, 11 personnel, they were gonna play nickel. And the first play, they came out in base, and they're like, Eric Dickerson, who's sort of in charge of, you know, alerting Kevin to the personnel, said, hey, they're in base. And Kevin's like, what? Well, they're in base? And they shifted their whole philosophy because they're playing the Eagles. And they're trying to give them curveballs. Didn't work, needless to say. And they were talking about that a lot early in the season. A lot of teams would go against what they normally do. So you prep all week. You look at how they're playing. You prep all week for something. And then you show up on game day. And it's something completely different. And generally, when you're really good, that happens more than if you're really bad. And the Eagles, obviously, Super Bowl champions coming in, everybody's giving them the best shot. And they were getting a lot of unscouted looks. And you haven't – Kevin would talk about it. Jalen would talk about it. And now they're not talking about it. So I asked him basically, you know, is that changed? Or is that just because it's late in the season and you guys have seen it all? And, you know, he asked me to repeat it, which is – the classic Jalen stall to try to figure out how he wants to answer it. And basically, you just want general Jalen. Comes with the game. Offensively, you go out there and you're going to see a lot of different looks, and there are going to be some surprises. Do a lot of preparation, a lot of game planning, what you expect to come, and sometimes those things never come. That's what was going on early in the season. And he threw out the adjust word. So you have to adjust on the fly, leverage yourself in the best way possible, yada, yada, yada. Typical Jalen Hurts answer. But they don't talk about it now. So I think that's a positive thing because they're more comfortable doing the game planning, doing the prep to get something different on game day.
Yeah, fair enough. Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. John, we'll talk a little bit. We'll close up the show with a little bit of matchup talk. I want to run this by you, John, and just kind of see where you are on these things. More of a macro NFL topic here. I'm going to go to the coach of the year, John. Who comes to mind when I say that? And by the way, do you have a vote for coach of the year? I know you have a vote for the MVP.
Yeah.
You do. You have a vote for all of them, right?
Yeah, all of
them. Who comes to mind for you for coach of the year this year? I'll give you a quick list of names that I have. And I wrote
I'll tell you right off before. To me, it's between three guys: Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen.
All right. Well, those three are on my list. The other two I put on my list, which I did have behind those three, are Sean Payton and Kyle Shanahan. Kyle, because of the injury.
Yeah, the turnaround. Yeah. Well, and the turnaround. But Kyle and Sean are two reputation or like everybody knows they're good coaches. Like I always say with coach of the year, it's about two things. It's about A, if you're young and unproven and you beat expectations, you're a big candidate. And that's where Liam and Ben come in. Now Mike is proven, Mike Vrabel. But the Patriots were supposed to stink. If you go back to early, I mean, people were saying the Patriots, again, have one of the worst rosters in the NFL, and all of a sudden, they're one of the best teams. So you really have to overachieve. Now, you can say the same thing about Sean Payton, to a lesser degree, Kyle Shanahan, but it's much more, and I would say, even though I put Mike Vrabel in there, it's probably going to be Liam Cohen or Ben Johnson just by the way people typically vote, which is the unknown who overachieves, is typically who wins that award.
Yeah, I
agree. Now, sometimes it's different. You know, Andy's won it in the past, and Belichick's won it, but you know, it's usually those guys, the guys who were young and unproven and beat expectations.
Yeah, I agree. Vrabel's team last year was 4-13. All right, the Patriots. The Jags were 4-13 last year, and the Bears were 5-12. So three big turnarounds. I agree with you. Those are the top three. We'll see what happens there. And John, do you think the MVP is as clear-cut as Matthew Stafford? Guy's got 40 touchdowns and 5 picks over 40 yards. I mean, he's balling right now, John.
Yeah, well, I think Drake May's in it. I think Josh Allen's in it. But right now, I'd say the two favorites are Matthew Stafford, Drake May, and then Josh is probably third. Now, I think Josh is the MVP. I've leaned in that direction just because of what he has to do each and every week. And then some other guys are you know, the second-tier guys are probably Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. It's become a quarterback award, which sucks, but that's what it is, unfortunately.
Interesting stuff there. Good stuff, John. John, Eagles-Bills this weekend, bro. Last 10 minutes of the show today. Eagles-Bills, it's a tough matchup, John. Josh Allen, you know, did say he was going to play, but he is nursing a little bit. He got banged up in that game last week, but he's a machine. That guy plays through mostly everything unless it's serious. And I don't know when the last time he had a serious injury was. He's been playing a lot, and he plays through everything. Yeah. What's your early thought on that Eagle-Bills matchup in Buffalo? And, John, that weather, it's going to be a weather game out there in Buffalo, brother.
Yeah, it's just a matter. You know, Vic was asked about the weather and said, well, it's Buffalo. It's Tuesday. Doesn't matter what it says. You know, it can change on a dime. So you have to wait and see as it gets closer to game day what it's going to be like. But right now it's pretty good. From a forecast standpoint, over freezing 44 degrees. So that's pretty good. A little bit of rain. But as I always say, to me, the biggest thing is always weather, especially when you're talking about the Eagles, wind, simply because of two reasons. One, I think, Jalen Hurts is not the best quarterback to, you know, cut through the wind, and Jake Elliott's having a bad season. And that's why I think it's wind is giving the Eagles a little bit of an issue this year. Snow and ice late Friday morning into late Friday nights will total 1 to 3 inches. So there you go. There'll always be something on the ground. It's just a tough area, Buffalo. Lake effect snow.
Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with.
It'd be tough to live out there in Buffalo, man. No doubt about it. Says the lows are in the upper 20s. So actually, maybe not, I don't know, maybe not too bad.
No, that's good for Buffalo. Yeah, for
Buffalo, that's like real good. I mean, normally it's like down in the teens, but I don't know. We'll see. That's going to be an interesting matchup. John, how do you feel about stopping the number one rushing attack in football, Buffalo? They obviously have Josh Allen, who's a great dual threat. They got James Cook, who leads the NFL right now in running yards with over 1,500. He is balling. Probably their best player to go along with Josh Allen is James Cook. And then they got some good offensive linemen as well. What do you think of that matchup coming in? What's going there?
Well, you never know with Vic, but I think he's going to pay more attention to the running game this week, and not just because the Bills are number one, but because he's not going to be as concerned with the outside receivers, who are kind of a weakness. So that should enable him to play. And remember, Jalen Carter's back, so you got. Most likely, shouldn't say he's back, but most likely he's going to be back. And that means you have an extra body on the interior. So I expect to see more five-man fronts than normal until they slow them down, if they slow them down. But I don't think you have to worry about the outside receivers. So I think it's easier for him to make that move. Because you know, first and foremost, with most teams, Vic is more concerned with stopping the explosive plays in the passing game. I don't think you have to worry about it as much. The Buffalo passing game is built more around the tight ends than anything else. So I think in the styles make fight category, this is a pretty good style matchup for the Eagles defense.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. John, now, what do you think?
Vic would laugh at that because of Josh Allen, but you get my point. It's not, you know, it's difficult to deal with Josh Allen, but they don't have great receivers.
No, they do not. They do not. Eagles offense, John, what do you expect them to try and accomplish in this game? It's a tough game for them. I think it's a good confidence game, though, John. I mean, you know, they got two good wins versus, you know, we've talked about the last two games as confidence wins. You can beat the Bills, a legit Super Bowl threat, Super Bowl contender, you know, at this time of the year. I think the Eagles walk into the playoffs with a tremendous amount of confidence, and I think would go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. Now, it can go the negative way. If you don't play well, then it'll be like, oh, God.
We don't belong, yeah.
Yeah. So I do think it's important from a confidence perspective. That's why they're going to play everybody. And I do, yeah, from that perspective, it's not a big game to win or lose because you're pretty much locked into the third seed.
I don't know, dude, you can win out and get the two seed, and that's a much easier road.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then you're you can't control Chicago. So, I mean, you have to hope they lose.
They have two tough games.
Yeah. But I mean, that's not, you know, hope is not a strategy.
I would just be saying, though, I would want to win my two games because if they do fuck up, you know, I'm right there to take advantage of it.
Well, they're going to play. I mean, Chicago, I think, plays on Sunday night.
Yeah, they play, I think, the Niners this week, right? And then they close with the Lions. And the Lions might be trying to sneak in somehow, so they're probably going to be playing hard.
So, I mean, yeah, week 18, I mean, if they win and Chicago wins, obviously they're going to shut things down in week 18. But, you know, from the standpoint of playing this game, they're going to play this game to win. And that to me means you better play well, because if you don't play well, then it's going to be, oh, you beat the Raiders and the Commanders with backup quarterbacks, which is, you know, legitimate. I mean, people are way too hyped over those wins. Let's be honest, there's some garbage out there over the past couple of weeks. So this is an important game from that standpoint of, and again, just to me, the confidence aspect, like as long as it's, you know, you can lose the game, but if, you know, if it's Josh Allen pulling a, you know what, out of his butt at the last minute and they get a bite and claw, I think it's fine. But if you get beat significantly, 30-14, something like that, then I don't think it's good at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely. Yeah, one more chat, John, and then it's we'll let you go, brother. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Hope everybody has a great holiday. Here's Brian Garner. Can we get Phillips a game off? That man hasn't had a bye week. Is that right, Phillips? Because they're Miami.
Yeah, he's gonna play 18 games, so he's getting an early start. Yeah, he'll get off. Week 18. The Eagles are probably going to rest most of their starters.
I think they'll still win that game.
Yeah, probably will. But I think that'll be the Tanner McKee game. So people
can Tanner McKee and Darius Cooper are going to be slicing them Commanders up.
Yeah. But if they need to win the game, yeah, he's going to play 18 games this year in the regular season. That's how it worked out with Miami's bye.
Yeah, it's tough. Garner, appreciate it, brother. All right, John, your final thoughts, man. Merry Christmas to you. John, thanks for all that you do here on Jacob. The people love you. We love having you. It's an honor to talk football with you every single day, brother. Merry Christmas to you. And your final thoughts here on a Christmas Eve edition, my friend.
Just glad I made it through. Can't get rid of this cold, but yeah, everybody's sick. So number one, stay healthy. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays, whatever, however you celebrate. But yeah, and I always appreciate it. And even though I get curmudgeonly and pet peeve, I appreciate how many people listen to the show. I appreciate the platform. I appreciate being able to talk about this particular football team. And I think it's, you know, important to elevate the conversation, as I always say.
That. Yeah, you do that for sure. John, appreciate it, brother. We'll talk to you a little bit later on. All right, man. Merry Christmas to you, John.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, J-Mac. There's Johnny Mac. John McMullen joining us right here on Birds 365, a little Christmas Eve edition. Everybody here. I hope everybody has a great holiday. All right. Let me put up my candy canes just so you all know. Cilia will be live for a quick hour as well at 10 a.m. So I will join him. I think he's bringing me on. Maybe I'll pour myself another cup of eggnog. Might be too early for that, folks. But Cilia will come on for an hour as well. Thanks, everybody, for being here. You didn't have to be here, but we do appreciate it. I always try and do as much content as possible. I know John and Sills probably get angry at me because I love the work, but we cover football. You know, if you don't want to work at the holidays, then go to a different industry. You know, go to a different industry. So, no, we're working here. We're doing some shows. Appreciate it all. Appreciate everybody. Gary's with me. I effing love it. Gary, I have had, Gary, let me tell you something. I love eggnog too, but I've never quite had it to the level I'm having it this year. I mean, Gary, I'm talking, I'm having like cups a day, dude. Like I'm out here like in full Christmas cheer, just chugging eggnog. I mean, it's ridiculous. My face is probably puffed up from all the sugar. All right. Slager says, Z, you look like you should be herding llamas in Argentina. Really? I love this sweater, man. This is my Ralph Lauren sweater with that old school Jacob logo embroidered on it. All right, you see that? The old school Jacob logo embroidered on this sucker. All right. Look at Cilio. Eggnog is like titty milk. Cilio, do me a favor. Get ready for your 10 a.m. show. All right, slick back the hair, jump in the shower, get your morning shit done. Do what you got to do, Sills. I mean, I'll talk to you in an hour, guy. Fucking guys chirping me about eggnog. I mean, come on. My guys can't handle those eggnog. Dude, I can't do it either, Gary. It's not working out, but I will continue to go. All right. Hollywood says, Xander, where you buy your eggnog from? Hollywood, it's funny you say that. I have been on the search for the finest eggnog I can find. All right. I have been on the search for the finest eggnog I can find. And the best one I found so far was, I don't know if it was Whole Foods or it was, there's this little grocery store by me called Mom's Grocer or something. Mom's. And it came in this glass container. And it was absolutely fire. That's the best one I found so far. All right. That's the best one I found so far. The one that's been easy because there's a Trader Joe's right near me is the Trader Joe's eggnog. But it's not that great. It's not that. It's good. It's not great. I prefer things to be great. So, you know. All right. You can tell Xander. Oh, shut up, Ryan. All right. If I drink eggnog, oh, Cilio and Steven are in their feels about eggnog. I'm sorry you guys are like the Grinch. You guys saw like McMullen this morning. The guy had three pet peeves today. It's Christmas Eve. I mean, these two old curmudgeons I work with. Silly is a curmudgeon about eggnog in the Pro Bowl, you know. And John was a curmudgeon about a bunch of shit today. All right, so pretty good. Pretty good. Zan Man, what up, Jay? What up, Jay? How you doing, brother? Appreciate you for being here. So, eggnog blows. Steven, you blow. How about that, dude? How about that? Okay. Gary, me too. YouTube on the toilet after a cup of eggnog. No curmudgeon. I'm with you, Wayne. You know, Wayne, what happened? What happened, Wayne? Why does your generation breed out more curmudgeons at this time of the year than anything, anybody, than any other one? Why is that, Wayne? Does anybody have a good answer for that? And Paul said, what's up, brother? Philly to Chicago. What's up, man? Merry Christmas. I appreciate all you do. Incredible year. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. It was a great year. Wow, that's a good reflection. I didn't even think about that much yet. 2025 is a great year. We got a Super Bowl done. You know, we had great growth on the channel. You know, I've been more solidified now in my role as a host on the channel. Parade on Broad Street. You know, we had a good off season for the Eagles, and that, you know, they're coming off a Super Bowl win, obviously. So that's pretty good, man. It was a good year. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Happy Christmas Eve from the North Chicago suburb. Look at that. Chicago, a classic American city. A classic American city. Jay, Lane, appreciate you, brother. Appreciate it. I think your name is Jonathan. It doesn't show up like that anymore, but I appreciate it. Steven, you've never even tried it. What are you talking about? We are mad about our parents dying. Hey, Wayne, I don't know if I have pushback on that, by the way. Let's go. Gary says, it was a great year. Some crazy stuff happened for me. Me too, bro. Met you and your brother. Yes, sir. Gary, actually, I would put that event that you sent me to as one of the top moments of my 25. No doubt. No doubt. That was extremely awesome for me to see, to experience, to go through that, to be able to have the access, to meet you, to talk with you, to learn, you know, about what I was watching with you. That was one of the best experiences of my year, for sure. For sure, man. Thank you for that. I had a big year. Got engaged. You know, we're building the business. Eagles won a Super Bowl and potentially could be on the way to another sales. The Birds could be on the way to another sales. Boy, Cilia will combust if the Eagles win another Super Bowl. Sills will combust. Sills will combust. Yeah, Slagger, tell this dude. Yo, Cilio, get out of my chat. You got your own chat coming up in an hour. All right, you can rip all the shots you want. Crap on Eggnog, whatever it is you want to do. Yo, Z, Merry Christmas. You're my boy, Blue. Keep up the good work. Love, appreciate it, man. You're my boy, Blue. That's a classic. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everybody. Yeah, I'm not politically correct here, all right? You know, remember that era of the world we lived in where they made it so, like, you weren't allowed to say Merry Christmas? I mean, what kind of pussified society are we living in if I can't say Merry Christmas? Merry Christmas! Come on. That doesn't mean I don't have respect for the other people celebrating holidays, the Jewish folks celebrating Hanukkah and Kwanzaa or whatever, all the other holidays. I don't know them all. I don't know them all. But come on, man. Eggnog is good with some wood. I know a lot of people like to do this, but I don't know. I'm not a drinker, so I don't go down that road. But, hey, maybe Cilio would like it if he did that. All right. Here's Howard. What up, Howard? If we do win another Super Bowl, you may have to fly out and hold Sills down while his wife shaves his head. That's true. I might fly out and shave his head just for the content, Howard. I'll set my cameras up. We'll get this thing in 4K. Have you guys ever seen the barber videos on social media? You know, they got the full edits of them trimming the hair, the clippings and everything, and they're shining it up. I'll give them a full head shine. That'd be pretty funny. That'd be pretty funny. All right. 38-17 Bill Sill says, Sills, get out of here with your curmudgeonry. Those Epstein files are brutal. I didn't really look that much into them, honestly, Theo. I really don't give a shit. The whole world is corrupt, my friend. You don't have to look far, all right? You don't have to look far just to find corruption in the world, okay? I try and remain uncorrupt. Okay. I try and remain uncorrupt. I don't even know if that's a word. But there's a lot of corruption out there. Oh, come on, Matt. That's foul. That is absolutely foul, brother. So, all right, guys. Love all you guys. I got to run. I got some shit to get done before Cilio comes on at 10. All right, so Cilio will be on in about 50 minutes. He's already been winding it up in the chat. If an hour of whining on Christmas Eve wasn't enough, he wanted to give you some in the chat today, too. Thanks, Sills. Okay? So, appreciate all you guys being here. Merry Christmas to y'all. Happy holidays to y'all. Happy New Year. I'll be on well before the New Year, so I don't have to say that just yet. But I appreciate each and every one of you for hitting the like button. For the suckers and the losers and the haters and the people who watch me and they hate watch. They hate watch. I love you too. Merry Christmas to you too. Cheer up, Buttercup. Cheer up, Buttercup. Roll Tide. Go Birds. And fuck the Cowboys. I got to apologize to everybody. I might have given the Cowboys a little too much love a little earlier in the year. Is that true? Do you guys think so? Do you guys think so? I know Twiz does. Here comes Twiz. Ready? Here comes Twiz. Yeah, here he comes. Here comes Twiz. Daddy drinking all that Dak Prescott juice. Da, 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 da. Here comes Twizzler. Roll Tide and go Birds. There you go. There you go. There you go. Sills is a dusty gray. Yes, he is. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Love all you guys. I'll see you in about 45 minutes. All right, I'll see you in about 45 minutes. Love all you guys. See you next time, everybody.
You've been listening to Birds 365, the destination for the passionate Eagles football fan who bleeds green. If it's Eagles football, we're talking about it. Debate inside the locker room and guests that are some of the greatest football minds from around the region. We hope you enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Jacob Sports. See you next time on Birds 365.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.